Great. All right. I wasn't going to do any of that, but anyway. Right. Where were we? Good evening, by the way. It's great, isn't it? God's good, isn't he? All the time. Let me unplug this. I suddenly realized I was running out of battery. Not personally. Okay, can you do the slide up? Apologies for those who weren't here last week. Where were you? No, just look. You missed point one of 4 points. It was the longest one, and there was a lot of introduction. But we're looking at together how we can build a church that, to use Spurgeon's words, are full of enthusiasts, or what he would call soul winners. Okay, and what we looked at last week is that so often you have been put off and thought that being a witness is out of your reach because expectations have been placed on you that are just unrealistic. And it's usually evangelists who sadly do that because they can't imagine a world full of people who are not like them. They're sad people. And I told you last time that I'd fallen in that trap and got this amazing sermon together, which I'd nicked from lots of other people. 21 points of how to be like Jesus in winning the woman at the well. And then God soberly arrested me and said that the reason why the people that you're talking to aren't doing the 21 points is because you don't do many of them yourself, which was a bit of a shock. And I felt God then change my whole focus with that story in John chapter 4 and said, Grantley, stop talking about what Jesus did as the evangelist. Talk about what most people can relate to, and that is the story of the woman. So we have the next slide, please. These are the verses that we looked at briefly, and we'll continue to look at them today. Leaving her water jar. This is after she's had this amazing encounter with Jesus. The woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him, or towards Jesus. And just in that simple verse, we've discovered just four things that I believe we can all do, particularly in the power of the Spirit, that makes being a witness just doable, just really doable. While I'm saying that, could you get some A4, A3 pieces of paper? Have you got any in your... Okay, that's for later. Okay, that would be really good. Thank you. I meant to say that. I've got those. If you've got any big marker pens, I've got some, but if you've got them, okay, right. Thank you, Simon, giving the instructions here. Okay, next slide. Here we go. The four things that this woman did, one of those we looked at last week, the first thing she did was leave that amazing experience of encountering Jesus and having her life transformed. She didn't become a part of the band around Jesus. She made a huge sacrifice to walk back into the town where most of the people would have rejected her and despised her for her appalling morality and the way that she lived her life. And yet, her focus was not just to stay in the glory time with Jesus, but to go back to her villagers and tell them all that's happened. And we looked at how we can increasingly walk into other people's worlds. Okay. The other three we're going to look at this evening, and then we're going to have some ministry, as I promised you. We'll have some more prophecy, and we'll pray for the sick and just ask the Holy Spirit to come, as he does. Okay. And we'll be finished by 12 o'clock, as I said last time. Okay. So, next slide, please. The next point where I want us to look at is this, that not only did she walk back into a village, she was completely open, transparent about what had just happened. No secrets, no embarrassment. You never guess. I met this man who's told me everything about my life. Could he be the Messiah? So how do we not only walk into other people's worlds on our day-to-day walks, as we do, the things that the world to open up because of our work or because of our community placing, because of our activities. How do we act with openness and transparency? Let me give you two questions, two situations, two examples. I prayed for a lady after a service that I'd taken about evangelism, different to this, but this woman came to me and she said, Grantley, will you pray for me? And I said, yes, I'd love to pray for you. What do you want me to pray for you? She said, well, I'm a worship leader. Everybody respects me in the church. She says, I have this place of work, and I've been there for 12 years. I said, oh, that's good. Yeah, so what's the problem? She said, well, a few people know in my workplace that I'm a churchgoer, but nobody knows I'm a Christian. 12 years of working mainly with the same people, and yet she had to be honest and say, Grantley, will you pray for me? I need to blow my cover. But 12 years in the same environment without being transparent. And she was a worship leader in, you know, a really good New Frontiers church. I was at a church. I'm not trying to mention churches or situations by name, but I was with this church that hadn't seen anybody saved for 3 or 4 years. And what's more, when I asked the elders, had they ever led anyone to Christ? You know, they were having to think way back, 10, 15 years back, you know. So I said, have you had any recent experiences of sharing your faith? And this one elder said, well, I work in a big department store. And he said, we have a lady who comes in. She's an extremely rich lady. And she comes in quite regularly and spends huge amounts of money. She said, one day she came in. She came to my department. She often comes to my department because I'm in sort of luxury home goods. And she said, well, here I am again. Too much money. Need to spend something. Do you know, I was talking to my friend only a few days ago, and they said to me, you know, buying all those things are never going to satisfy you. You know, I think she's right. Because I come here, I buy a load of things, I think I'm going to be happy, I go back, and I'm unhappy. It's not the answer to my life, you know. And this woman I said, talked to, she said, maybe what you really need is God. So that made me think, you know, I don't really need these things. I think maybe what I need is God. And this is without a word of a lie. The elder looked at me and he said, Grantley, should I have said something? Should I have said something? At that moment in time, I had my hands round his neck. No. I wanted to have my hands round his neck. You mean you even asked the question whether you should or not? I mean, it was just... It couldn't have been... I mean, don't you pray for those situations? Don't you? Wouldn't you long for somebody to come into your life and say, and I've had this conversation with somebody, I think, do I need God? You know, I mean, you'd... Do you need God? You bet you do. We need to live transparently. We need to be open and honest about our faith. As I said last week, it is the most significant thing about us. What marks you out from the rest of the world out there is this living experience of knowing God personally. So let's get it out there. I was in a cafe just a couple of days ago with a friend, saw this woman with bandages on her wrist. So I said, you know, have you got a problem? She said, I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's not carpal tunnel syndrome. It's not, the doctors can't seem to solve it. They're going to do some brain scans to think there's something there. And I just said, well, I know the answer. I'm going to pray for you. Now, most of us, when we sort of blow our cover, think we're gonna get lynched. You know, I can't think of the last time I've got lynched in doing that. You know, sorry, I wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? You know, she couldn't have been more thrilled. She said, "Will you? Will you pray for me? Oh, I need that. Will you please pray for me? Because, you know, nothing's happening. Pray for me." It was just that simple. That simple. There are people all around us crying out with needs. And all we've got to do is blow our cover. And I tell you, the climate has changed. There was a time when it was more hostile. And I could tell you about many situations that didn't quite go as I anticipated. But now I'm finding that more and more, just people are hungry. Flossie and I got some dear friends in Canada. We go and visit them, and we look visiting the churches, Jeremy and Faith, Hazel. And we love going out for a meal with them, because we go out for a restaurant, and we do the orders, and just before, when the food arrives, Faith will say this. You say, we're just going to give thanks to God for the food now, but it'd be really nice if there was something that we could pray for you for. Would you like, is there anything you want us to pray for? Is that simple? They're just in a restaurant, just ordered a meal, and they've just blown their cover. It's great, isn't it? I'm not saying these things for you to copy them, but just to illustrate just how easy it is to be transparent. They had a situation where they did that, and the woman and this lady said, "Will you pray?" She said, "Serious." She said, "Will you pray that I discover what the purpose is of my life? Because I don't know what my life is for, and I need to know that my life has meaning and destiny." What? Well, you can imagine what they prayed then, can't you? I mean, they were in their element. You know, I mean, that is just, you don't know out there what is going on in this mind of theirs. And particularly through this recession, I think there are a lot of people who have questioned. They feel that the whole capitalist bubble has burst. Materialism isn't going to be the answer to their big questions. I think there's opportunity. There's real opportunity. Getting this? Good. Next slide. Let me give you this Bertheimer quote. This is the guy who was really a lecturer at Bible College, a huge influence on Bill Hybels. You will have known about Bill Hybels. Well, this guy transformed that man by his preaching on the early church in Acts and Pentecost. This is what he says. Throughout the course of your life, you're going to give your life to something. You will. All people do. They give their lives to pleasure or to possessions, to entertainment or popularity, or to the acquisition of more power. But always to something. So what have you given your life to? How about transparent living? And see where the adventure takes you. We don't know, do we? From one day to the next, who we might be embroiled with. Isn't that exciting? Does that send a little shiver down your spine? Yeah, no. Next quote. This is Hybels. So after the teacher, here's the pupil. "Let me ask this. How better could you expand your time and energy than investing it in people, many of whom will thank you for all eternity in heaven? What other investment will reap so high a reward?" We had a lady arrive at Wyndham on Sunday. Floss and I think we both must have recognized her, but didn't know.
She asked.
Oh, right, yeah. But I could see her there, and I thought, you look familiar, but I don't know what it was. But it must be about 15 years ago while we were at Aylsham. This woman had a real crisis. We were able to go to her and pray for her. There was some setting free. And here she is, still enjoying God and loving God. And now she's sort of down our ways, probably going to come and be with us in church. You just don't know, do you? Just one meeting, wasn't it? I don't think we had any more than that. I think it was just one meeting, and her life was got back on track. And, you know, we've got people who will thank us for eternity. Which is great. Great. So, next slide. This is my dear friend Ken McGreevy, as you know, passed away some years ago now, but he said this: if you were to take the whole of Earth's geography and the whole of Earth's history, there is no more important calling in the whole world throughout the whole of time than being a witness for Jesus. Wow, what a quote. Being transparent. So important. Okay, next slide. Let me just ask these questions. I'm not asking you to answer them out loud. Just think about them. In your daily lives, where are you clearly known as a Christian and where are you not? Maybe you need to give some attention to that. If my life was transparent to my not yet Christian contacts, what would I welcome that they saw and what would they rather they did not see? Because we don't just want to be transparent, we want to be good in our transparency. We want to, no, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. That, don't be saddled with that burden. But we do want to be good news. We want to be people who bring some life and joy back into other people's worlds. Yeah? Next slide. Two other questions, and then we're going to move on. What does an authentic Christian life look like? Or three questions, rather. So how can we, when we are open, how can we be really more and more like Jesus? And I think this woman was a great example. All she was honest. She didn't know many answers to questions, did she? So don't worry about the fact that you might get asked questions you can't answer. My church and me have a pact. I say, if you ever get in that situation, all you have to say is, we know a man who can help you with those questions, and they bring them along to me. And then I look puzzled when they ask me the questions, but at least we've got contact, okay? So, you know, authenticity is important, and I think one of the great gifts in us being authentic when we're transparent is to be honest and open. And so when we've got questions and doubts, it's okay to say that, but still pointing them to the reality of Christ. In what natural ways can I make my faith known? At work, in my social life, or with my family and friends? And in what ways do I involve God in my day-to-day life? Next slide. Questions. Okay. But let me just, with every point, I just want to show you how the Holy Spirit helps us. He empowers us to live bravely. Because that's what's needed if we're going to live transparently, isn't it? I mean, there's always that moment of, shall I, shan't I? Isn't there? We all, you know, I've been doing this for a long, long time. I still have that moment, all right? It doesn't just always happen naturally. Sometimes I've got to step over fear, all right? So don't think that will ever go, because it doesn't, all right? There is that stepping over fear. But look how God empowers us to live bravely. This is Acts 10. This is about Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing. Up to that moment in time, it was almost like God was hidden, wasn't it? For 30 years, God was on the earth, but there was not transparency. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes, and the world knows that the Messiah has arrived. Do you see it? Suddenly, there's exposure. And it's right tied in with the glorious gift of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed it, then how much more do we need it? Then Peter stood up with the 11, he raised his voice, and he addressed the crowd. Here's Peter, one minute he's in fear and trembling and denying Jesus, next minute he's in the most public arena, nothing's changed, the authorities are still there, they, as we know, the persecution continues, and yet something's happened within Peter that causes him to live bravely. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit. We find when the authorities do question Peter and John that they are amazed at just these men's courage and boldness. They say that they've obviously been with Jesus. They've got their theology wrong. It's not that they've been with Jesus. It's the fact that now Jesus lives in them by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray later. We're going to pray that you live bravely as the Holy Spirit comes upon you with fresh fire. Okay? That's a great prayer for tonight, isn't it? Okay, next slide. Moving on. Thirdly, so she walks back to her village because though it is great to be in the glory time with Jesus, she's concerned about the people that she lived amongst. What an example. When she's there, she's honest about the little that she knows. Do you know, sometimes it is just the simplest of sentences or the most wonderful, compassionate acts that breaks people's hearts for God. Not the eloquence. That's why Paul said, I don't come with wise and persuasive words. And boy, could he have come in that way? If you just read Romans, you realize what a brain he was. But he chose not to. Because he learned something of dependency on God in that the simplest of words, if they're anointed with the Spirit, just breaks people hope. So come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? She just told them her story. As simple as that. Look what happened. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. Why? Why did they believe? What was the tipping point for them from coming from no faith to faith? It was her story. Her story. And all her story involved was, he told me everything I ever did. Not much of a story, was it? Now, I just need to say this to you because I know this is really prevalent. I don't care. No, I don't necessarily care. I am thrilled if you've always been brought up in a Christian family and can't really recognize the day that you came to faith, but you just know you have. That is an amazing story. Just think what God saved you from. Many of us went wild and wish we hadn't. God saved us from that. It's a great story. Tell it. Don't be ashamed because you were not an ex-alcoholic or drug addict or, you know, oh, God saved you from this and saved you from that. You were as far from God as anybody. Do you realize that? There's no one further from God than you were. Because the Bible says you were dead in your sins. You can't get much worse than that, can you? You're dead. So though you might not have had the experiences of others, you were dead and you came to life. So just share your glorious story as it is. Honest. Testimonies are so powerful. So please, I want to release you now from the pressure to explain the gospel to people and to get it all right. Okay? Because she never did that, yet a whole town came to Christ. Wouldn't you like the whole of Aylsham to come to Christ? And it could be your testimony. You're not so sure. That's what happened here. Can it not happen again? Let me just say this. When testimonies are a really special thing, when a testimony is spoken, it's not only telling you of the wonderful things that God has done, it's God saying, I want to do that again. That's what testimony really is. It's saying, this is what I did in the past, and I'm reminding you of this now because I want to do that now. I find this when I'm praying for the sick. I really ask God, one of the key prayers for me is, what story should I tell of healing? So is it about a back problem? Is it about a skin condition? Is it about the removal of lumps? Is it a heart condition? Is it depression? And so on. So I say to God, what story should I tell? Because I believe they're going to be really significant in dealing with the same conditions or very similar conditions in the meeting that I'm speaking at. It's like God saying, I've done that, I want to do it again. So, this story is of one woman who led a whole town to conversion. You're getting this? Is your faith rising? Why don't you start praying that? God, may through a testimony this town be changed. Through a testimony, may this town be changed. It's a great prayer, isn't it? Because I think he wants to do it again. I think he wants to do it again. Okay. So, telling your story. Okay, so you've not backed off and gone into your holy huddle. You've walked into the world of Elsham or surrounding area. You're with people you know are not saved, and yet, you're going to live transparently. We've just been helping John and Liz Wilthew move from Northumberland to Wyndham. They're coming to be with us. Some of you will know John and Liz. They came here and did a lot of ministry on marriage and things like that. They've just retired. Great Bible teacher. I'm sure you're going to get him up here in the near future because he's come to serve the whole region. I'd like to keep him at Wyndham, but he won't let me. So, but do you know, the Abbey in Wyndham is not a particularly lively spiritual place, but there are Christians there. And do you know, one of his neighbours who goes to the Abbey came in, introduced himself, gave him a bottle of homemade wine, and invited him to the Abbey. And I thought, isn't that brilliant? Within the first conversation of making himself a neighbour known, he made it clear that he was an Abbey person, and what's more, would love John to go. And I thought, I wonder if my church would do that. Made me question. I wonder if my folk would do that. Good on him. Good on him. Just excellent. I want to commend people who just... He just did it so naturally. It just was the normal thing of his life. I'm involved in this. I'd love it for you to be involved too. It's great stuff. Great stuff. Okay. Telling your story. Click again. Just very simply, if you want some framework... I'm not asking you to do any homework. Just think about it. If you're telling your story, this is a really good way of doing it. Then in a moment, at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity for you to tell your story. Okay. And it's this. First of all, just very briefly, what was your life like before you were a Christian? And then secondly, what caused you to consider Christianity and Jesus? What started it? Again, it might be your Christian home. Thirdly, what was it that finally brought you to faith? Or when did you realize that you've been on a journey and now you really were a person of faith? And then finally, what difference did it make? So when people are giving their story at baptism, I usually give them this little framework to say, just tell it as it is. That. It's that simple. In fact, I'm going to make it even more simple. Next slide. And I was going to bring loads of cardboard from John's move, but it all got wet. So, unfortunately, I couldn't do that. But we're going to do something at the end that I think will be helpful. And that's this. We've got some A3 bits of paper. Okay, A3 bits of paper. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to write with, I've got some big thick pens. I want you to write boldly on one side just a few words that describe your life before you were a Christian. Some of you can remember it, okay? On the other side, I want you to write what your life is like now as a Christian, okay? The reason why I'm doing this is this. If you don't act on what is being taught within a few weeks of hearing it, you'll lose it. So I'm going to actually get you to act on it quite immediately. It will then have greater chance of it really affecting your life. Okay. So for this woman, or girl, she felt unloved. She hated herself. And now she's loved by God, fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. So I'll put that back up at the end. Or I'm sure Andy can find it for us. But that's what we're going to do. And then what we're going to do is this. You're not going to say a word. All right? Some of you may have seen this then before. You're just going to come to the front. You're going to show what your life was like before you, Christian. Then you're going to turn it over. Because on the other side is what your life is now like. And we're all going to hoop and holler and cheer at what God's done. Yeah? Just to get you into the habit of how easy it is to give your testimony. We won't be able to get everybody at the front, but as many as want to, we'll go for it. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. Next slide. Let's just, again, look at how the Holy Spirit helps us. And in this case, I want to look at how he empowers us to speak. And just two passages. This is Acts 4, when the disciples are being persecuted. Now, this is their answer to persecution. Now, Lord, consider their threats, that's the authorities, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So there was, in the early church, this commitment, we are going to speak out. What happens? Well, you know the story only too well. The Holy Spirit came with such ferocity, it was like an earthquake. I've not experienced that yet. I've experienced some amazing things in the Spirit. I've not experienced earthquake. I quite like to, maybe I should go for that a bit more. God, bring earthquake. I don't want the building to fall down, but you know what I mean. Okay, but we should pray for that, shouldn't we? And what happens was, they were then able to go out and speak boldly. And even when they were persecuted and scattered, they were still speaking it boldly because the Holy Spirit empowered them. So we're going to pray that God will come upon you with a fresh fire for bravery, but also that God will empower you to be able to speak out when you do get that opportunity. I love Mark 13:11. It talks about, particularly in the context of trial, but I think it's true of many situations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? So I think when this woman said, let me tell you about a man who knew all about my life, they were Holy Spirit anointed words. You know what it's like. You've listened to, how many sermons have you listened to in your life? If you had a pound for every one, you'd be very rich, wouldn't you? But you can still remember one or two sermons where a little phrase or a little illustration or a story just suddenly, wham, and you've never forgotten it. And you know there's something of the Holy Spirit's anointing that has shaped you, changed you. Well, that's what he wants to do with our little testimony. He wants to phrase it in a way that's peculiar and special for the person that you're giving it to, and it will penetrate like nothing else can penetrate. Wow. Because it's not our words, it's Holy Spirit words. And he's so much better at this thing than we are. So maybe when we just want to step over that fear, you know, gulp, we've got an opportunity. Somebody's walked into our department store and said they need God. Why don't we just say, Holy Spirit, fill my mouth. Yes, you do need God. Or maybe you do need God and I can help you find him. Whatever. But he has this promise. He will give you the words to say. Isn't that? So when it doesn't go well, and sometimes it just doesn't go well, I walk away and I think, yeah, I could have done better. But what's important? I gave Holy Spirit words. Gave Holy Spirit words. And therefore I trust it. It will bear fruit in season because it's Holy Spirit words. So isn't this wonderful? What the Holy Spirit does, he does not ask us to do something that he doesn't equip us and empower to do. That's the key. So simple, isn't it? You ask me to do it, you give me everything I need to do it. Wow. Finally, moving on, number four. Not only did she walk into the town, not only did she live openly about what had just happened, not only does she tell her story, but she then simply says, here's an invitation. We've been doing Alpha for, years. I've done Alpha. I started it here in 94. I did the first Alpha course I've ever done here. And I've not stopped doing Alpha courses ever since. I don't know how many I have done and do. And, it's always that challenge for my church. I said, look, we're going to do another Alpha course. This is a time to invite. We did an alpha service with a hog roast. And to my amazement, I mean, there were 270 adults in the room. And we're currently in the middle of our biggest Alpha course. And, what was exciting was that people who had gone and invited just went again. And this time they came. And now they're on the course. We just did the Holy Spirit Day. We joined up with Atterbury in Dereham and did it at our stable. And just it was just lovely to see. I mean, what was really lovely to see people, in a later part of life being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues and just enjoying God's presence. And you think, I don't know why, we can often think there's an age barrier. But there isn't. There's nothing of the sort, is there? Just God comes. It's glorious. But given an invitation, that's what she did. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? You are getting to the most easiest season of all to give an invitation. Christmas. Invite. Invite. Just keep inviting. You don't know who's going to come. I mean, one year we did a float. The Burtons, I think, got a tractor and a trailer, and we got everybody on the float, and we were singing carols, and we just went round the houses, and we knocked on their doors, and they all thought it was like the sort of Rotary. They were going to give us money, and we said, no, we haven't come for your money, and we gave every house a little bundle of sweets and a little card from us, inviting them to the service. Well, that year we had people we had never, ever seen before come amongst us. And we were the fullest that we'd been for a long, long time at a Christmas service. Why? Because we found a lovely way to invite them and invited them. A lovely way to invite them and we invited them. And they came. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay. This is a response to this woman's invitation, to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So some became believers just because of her testimony, and now others have become Christians because of her invitation to check it out. It's amazing, isn't it? Some didn't need to check it out because they could see that this woman was so changed that they came to faith. Others thought, this does seem interesting. We better check it out. We'll go with your invitation. And they got saved. It's great to hear about the sort of HTB church plant on the Earlham Road with our dear friend Ian. Well, you should be proud because somebody invited Ian here. And it was great to lead him to Christ. That all began, and all his journey helped us in greatly in Holt, and then felt a calling to the Anglican Church, and now pioneering something in Norwich. I think it's been a real gap for a long, long time that we really needed to see a really effective, charismatic Anglican Church in the city, right in the heart. And yet that story really began with an invitation. That's what it was. Somebody of our gathering invited him. He got saved. The power of invitation. It's great, isn't it? Go again. Next slide. Just make sure that your invitation is warm, it's hospitable, it gives them all the information that they need in order to be here amongst us. Be persuasive. I really want you to come. It would really thrill me if you could come with me. I think this will really do you good. Don't miss it. There's an invitation. Come if you want. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Here we go. We're apologizing for inviting you. Be persuasive. Give all the detail they need. If you can facilitate them being at the event, picking them up, then great. If somehow you can bring them to church on a Sunday morning and offer them lunch afterwards, anything that just sugars it, the whole scenario, and makes the invitation even more irresistible. There's that men's perfume, isn't it? Is it called Totally Irresistible, or wear some of that as well, okay? Buy the perfume, it's called Completely or Totally or Something Irresistible. Anything, but make it irresistible, okay? Certainly she did. Next slide, go on again. Here we go. Okay, just finally I want to say, then we're going to pray. I said that we would spend more time praying. Just be prayerful when you invite. Pray over. If you've got Christmas invitations, just lay hands on them. Pray over them. And this is what is really good. The Holy Spirit can guide you to give you invitations to people where the work of the Spirit is already on them. I've had the privilege of leading, I've lost track of how many people I've led to Christ. Many of them I've had virtually nothing to do with until right at the end and brought the sort of crunch moment. The Spirit was already working on them. I was just picking the apple that had come to beautiful ripeness. My task was easy. Lots of people have played a significant part in the whole journey. The work of the Spirit was on them. So just, God, who are you working on? Let me give a timely invitation. Secondly, just pray that God gives us opportunity where we've perhaps not had an open door. This passage in Colossians 2, 3-6 covers those 2-5. And it's Paul praying for himself. And you know what a mighty evangelist he was. And yet he's still praying, God, open doors for me. Because sometimes I've met real opposition. He also prays for courage for himself. You thought Paul needs courage? Yes, he does. We all do. Then he goes on to say, when I do give an invitation, make sure I'm clear. And make sure that my heart is right, the way I do it, the manner. So we can make our invitation more powerful by praying over it. Okay, are you getting this? It all makes witnessing possible for us, doesn't it? And doable. Some of you are already doing this stuff. Some of you have been doing it, but perhaps just got a bit cold on it. God's just stirring it. Last slide. One more? OK. Can you click on? Oh, I didn't put that down. Anyway, I'll say this. I think that the Holy Spirit's work is so often divine appointments. You look through the scriptures, how many significant moments, life-changing moments you'll find in scripture that you think, why was Jesus there? Or why did the disciples end up there? And why was Paul there? And why is he talking to this? And it just thinks God has brilliantly arranged this. The Bible speaks about we have plans, but God orders our steps. So just a simple prayer on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning. God, today, order my steps. God, today, order my steps. And then just think, the people I bump into, the people I meet, the opportunities I might have, God's ordained them. Let me take them. Simple as that. Hope that's been practical, down to earth, helpful, all very doable for you. I want you to enjoy the fruits. If God's done it through one woman's testimony, a whole village, let's pray for this town. That testimony will just blow this town wide open for the gospel in a way that it's not been before. It's great, isn't it? Okay, right, we've got some paper. I've got some pens. Yeah, that is a problem. Flossie, you did say, where's my pens gone? The pens might go through from one side to the other, so you might need two sheets. Try them. Okay. Can you get some more paper? Okay. Here's some pens. Grab them quickly and pass them on. I'll get some others if I can. Have you got any more bigger felt tips at all? Sorry, I should have prepared you for this. Simon's... Aha, look, Simon's got some big pens. Okay. Grab one, get some paper. Write big so it can be seen, not small letters, big letters. Just a few words describing your life before and then a few words describing your life now. Does that make sense? Really bold, big words. Hopefully your pen will work. I've got some bigger pens coming. That would be too small. Yeah. If you want to lean on something, there's some tables over there. There's some... Those who are artistic amongst you, I'm sure you can do some nice letters. Yeah, you could do that way if you wanted to. Yeah. Just write nice and big so we can read it without... You didn't know you were going to get a craft session as well, did you, eh? Well, art session then, art. Eh? Anybody else? Key words that describe your life before you were a Christian, key words that now describe your life as a Christian. Very good. That's not very dark, is it? I think we can just read that. Do you want a darker pen? It's rather small, so you might have to read that one.
I have anger in my heart.
Okay. Whoa! Yes! Woo! Fantastic. You can sit down. Pat. She might need to do the same.
I was selfish, thoughtless, unkind, and insecure. And now I am accepted, forgiven, loved with an everlasting love, confident, safe.
Whoa! Woo! Right. This one looks big enough we can just read it, okay? Restless, double life. Drifting, that's it. Swing it around. Yeah. And now, peace, real identity, sense of purpose. Yes! Woo! Excellent. John, here we go. What have we got here? We've got, I need much help in my life.
Read that.
No, it's all right. We can read that. And now, but I can give help to others in need. After giving my life to the Lord, yeah! Well done, John. Okay. Oh, this looks nice and bold. Fearful. Get closer if you can't see it. Yeah, very good. There's always one on the back row, isn't there? Confident of destiny, secure in that. Govern by grace. Yes! Govern by grace! Woo! Fantastic. Okay. Driven by fear of approval. Yeah. Secure in the love of God. That is fantastic. Woo! They're just wonderful stories, aren't they? I saw something in my school friends I couldn't identify. Him and wanted to be. Yeah, great. Walk at Heavenly Father, made by Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, well done. That was different in character, wasn't it? Great. Okay, let's look at this one. I met some real Christians. Okay. Yeah, we can do the other side. Yeah, and the side. Yeah. Fantastic. Woo, Bruce. Graphic designer here. Reliant on alcohol. Yeah. Same one. Not fearful, love. Oh, yes. Woo! Bruce, that is fantastic. Yeah. But it breaks a barrier, doesn't it? It's great. Damaged, defeated, hopeless. Yeah. But now, healed, hopeful, confident. Woo! That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He's outstanding. You have really applied yourself. David, here we go.
I'm feeling very well.
Yeah, now we can see it. Yeah. Before, lost, life, pointless. Yeah?
Post-conversion and baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Lived in the supernatural ever since. Is what I am.
Best. My short history and most blessed person.
Yeah, David, that is fantastic. Woo! Excellent. These are so good. Yeah. Need to make decisions. Sorted! I like that. That is brilliant. It's brilliant. A hole in my life, no direction. Yeah. It has been. Yeah, do you want to read it out? Because I.
The emptiness has been filled to overflowing and purpose in Christ, peace and joy.
Yay! Woo! That is great. These must be some of the best I've seen. Don't worry.
Just
yeah. Three more on this side, and then we'll go to the other side. Okay, here we go. Myself is me. Oh. Hold that up so they can read it. That's brilliant. Yeah. How dreadful is that? Yes! Woo! Yeah. That is fantastic. That is such an amazing testimony. Really well done. Frightened of the dark. It's okay. I thought everyone was looking at my big cars. Yeah, big ears. Okay, yeah. They said cars. I thought. Yeah. She is my friend, set free here. Used my testimony many times. Amazing results. Yeah! Woo! I've used your testimony a lot as well, so there you go. Fantastic.
I'll read the first one. Yeah,
read them out. Okay.
My life was not going in the right direction and was not according to the way of Jesus.
Yeah. Came to Airship Community Church in 1992 and gave my life to Christ. Fantastic! Well done! That was brilliant! Okay, this side now, it's your opportunity for those who want to come out. And if it is a bit small, difficult for us to see, then just read them out because that will be really good communication. Okay, who wants to go first? Looks like you're first. Fence out, yeah. Committed, enabled, moving. Yes, very good. So, insecure, not good enough. What can I do? Okay. And now accepted, love no matter what. Have a purpose, securing God. See, you don't have to say much to be really powerful. That was just great. Empty, directionless, lonely. Yeah? Anchored, have purpose, love for me. Yeah! Woo! Fantastic. Hopeless, shy, little girl. Yeah! Precious dog. Whoa! This is so good. Yeah. I was always afraid of stepping. Yeah?
Yep.
I have found courage and determination, not fear, but sometimes I make my life. Yeah! Peter, you might need to read those out. Can you read that? Before, boring, not real, purpose. Yeah, lonely, yeah? Do you want to read that out for us?
After I found Jesus, I found I had more friends. I felt loved by Heavenly Father, and my life has been fulfilled.
Yeah! Woo! Fantastic. Yeah? Yeah, and now? Yes! Fantastic. Very good. These are uncertain, lost, meandering, yes, blurred, rudderless, lonely. Cool. These are fantastic descriptive words, aren't they? Focus, yeah. Loved. Woo! Five to go. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, I'm loved. Yeah, unconditional. Yeah.
My life had no real meaning.
Yeah.
Now life is so full of everything, so much joy.
Woo! Oh, yeah, we haven't had many of those. That's very good. Yeah. This is so lovely. I was insecure, yeah? So succinct. You might need to read that one out, Peter. Woo! Wonderful. Aren't they great? Do you want to do a song? And then we're going to pray. Fantastic. You've already begun to put into practice what we've been learning. Okay? So you'll find it easier to make that bolder step in people perhaps you don't know. And look how succinct your testimony can be. You could just say that to someone. This is what I was like before, this is what I'm like now. That's all you need to say. Wow. Okay. Let's stand. So Lord, I just pray right now for all those who need your touch, right now. You know exactly what the complaints are. You know exactly what needs to happen to put these bodies right. And so I just release kingdom upon each person now. I take authority in the name of Jesus and I declare his kingdom wholeness upon you right now. Kingdom wholeness. Kingdom wholeness. I pray, Lord, your spirit will move in such a way it defies the medical profession and confounds science. Come, Holy Spirit. This is the day of you doing glorious things. And we just go again believing. So, Lord, I just take authority right now. Be healed in the beautiful name of Jesus. Be healed in the beautiful name of Jesus. Be healed right now. Right now. Power of God. Jesus. 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 Your fire fall right now. Fire fall right now. Jesus. Jesus. Your healing fire. Burn all up that which needs to be destroyed and bring into life that which is new in this body right now in Jesus' name. Jesus. 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 So I pray, Lord, come with your fire right now on each person here. Doesn't matter how many times you've been prayed for and nothing's happened. You may feel you're like that person at the pool of Bethesda without hope. You've waited for that moment when the angels come and the waters are stirred. Well, Jesus just walked in. And everything that was wrong was made right. So Lord, I come against any who feel they've been prayed for much and it's nothing's happened. I pray now, breakthrough tonight, breakthrough, breakthrough, glorious breakthrough. Jesus, Jesus. Not because this night is special or because any of us are special, but just because you are special, Lord. And you've walked to us and touched us. Jesus. 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 So much more of your spirit. So much more. So much more right now. Shubaba kya to da baba shudurama. Yama ko shudaraba. I tell pain to go right now in the beautiful name of Jesus. Those who are suffering pain, I tell that pain to go right now. Release. Release from pain right now. Jesus. 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 Beautiful Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. Shama ma kola ma kia ma kia do da ma. Kola ma ma shaba ba ba ba. Jesus, there's coming a day when it's just the most natural thing to happen in this building is people getting healed. The most natural thing to happen to people in this building is they get healed. The most natural thing that happens to people in this building is they get healed. Jesus. 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 Shama boko shandara baba. Wonderful. 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 Jesus. I can hear the testimonies already on Sunday. I can hear the testimonies already on a Sunday. Jesus. 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 So, Lord, I pray for your fire now in relationship to being a witness. I pray that you'll come upon us afresh right now. Beautiful Holy Spirit. You empower us to walk into other people's worlds. Lord, you're going to empower us right now to live transparently. Jesus. 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 God really comes upon you when you just give yourself to being a witness, doesn't it? It just comes upon you. Just, it's what you were made for. It's fire within your innermost being. It's what you feel most thrilled with, pleasured by. Jesus. 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 Jesus, give us the words to say, Lord. Give us the courage to speak out. Holy Spirit, will you give us divine appointments? Will you put us alongside people that your Spirit's already working on? Will you do that right now? Right now. Give us fertile lives, I pray. Fertile lives, I pray, right now. Fertile lives, right now. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And I pray for success on you as you invite. Success on you. Success on you. Maybe people you've invited in the past who said no, I fear they're going to come. They're going to come. They're going to say yes. They're going to say yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So fire, come upon us.